Alright, should we just start right away? Fucking Smarkamania, first official episode. This isn't the demo episode anymore, this is the real first episode.
Well, let me tell you something, mean Keith. A lot of people say a lot of things off the top about me. And you know who that is? The baby-faced Jason Phillips.
Didn't we have a name we came up with for Jason? Because I'm Keith Courage, you're Michael Moriarty.
Morgiarty.
And you're Jason Sensation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there we go. So we got Jason and Keith, the classic crew from our demo episode, and our third chair, Michael Morgiarty.
That's me. Pronounced perfectly.
So since we had so much fun last time with our WCW Great American Bash 2000, or as I call it, GAB 2000. But so we were like, all right, your 2000 WCW was so much fun to review last week. Let's do that again this week. Like, I was just looking for funny names for WCW. Like, well, let's pick the funniest name. With Super Brawl, which Mike pointed out is probably based on the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Which I didn't even think of that.
And it was, yeah, it happened around the same time, like in February.
Yeah, see, I know so little about football, it didn't even cross
my
mind.
It's funny, it's the first thing I know nothing about sports, too, but the first thing I thought of was like, oh, that's kind of a pun, I guess, Super
Bowl. But the first thing I thought was, the Super Bowl doesn't happen in February. As the night goes on, I realize the Super Bowl absolutely happens.
Yeah, I was like, what? Really?
That's how little I know about football.
Yeah, you're thinking of WrestleMania.
Yeah, I'm usually thinking about WrestleMania. Yeah.
WrestleMania is, like, what is it? I'm trying to say a thing and I can't. What is the ultimate game of football called?
Super Brawl.
The Super Bowl that we were
just talking about? Are you serious? Is this real life?
This is what happens when we watch three pay-per-views in a night. We're all way too fucked up. Because I was going to make the dumb joke like the Super Bowl is the WrestleMania of football, but I couldn't remember what the Super Bowl was called. And that's where that bit went wrong.
Yeah, and the WrestleMania is the Super Bowl of wrestling.
But
yeah.
What's the Super Bowl of WCW?
Yeah, what's the Super Brawl of Fall Brawl?
That's a good question. I was thinking about that earlier because WrestleMania is like a big deal, and like the whole sequence of like all the storylines and everything kind of are all going towards WrestleMania. Did WCW have that? Was it Bash the Beach?
Alternatively, like, I know the answer to that question.
Is it Bash the Beach?
Starcade, right? Yeah.
As far as I know, it's sort of like how TNA doesn't really have their own WrestleMania, but it's that one where they do the tournament and it's like you become the best in the world. Whatever, it doesn't matter. TNA sucks.
I love how last week we were quite erudite and knowledgeable. Yep. And now in our first official episode, like we watched way too much wrestling tonight. And now we're all just like, I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah, and I'm like, yeah, it's fucking stupid. Whatever. You're like, who cares? Like, TNA.
I'm still trying to get to my explanation of why we watched this. Okay, so it was, again, okay, so Super Brawl. I was Super like, that's Brawl. The funniest name.
2001.
Well, that's where we went wrong, is we're like, all right, let's stick with year 2000 WCW for a while. Let's watch Super Brawl 2000. And then we're like, well, we could watch Super Brawl 2001 because there were only three pay-per-views in 2001 and WCW went out of business. So we're like, yeah, let's see what the end of the line was like, the bitter end. And that's where, that was a mistake.
I gave you the option to watch Super Brawl 2000, and what I agreed with myself was that came before GAB 2000. So that's going to go backwards in time. In retrospect, fuck. We should have stayed in the same year, but at any rate.
That's the thing, too. I guess this podcast, it's a learning process.
It really is, especially for episode one.
So here's my, what do you think we just change this to Gabcast and we only review Great American Bashes?
We're going to run out of Great American Bashes.
Solid 10
quick.
Episodes, yeah. You know. The early ones would be great. We see some old superstars, some old heroes.
So before we get, I'm glad Mike and Jason both, you guys both have notes, which is awesome, because I don't. I don't know the name of the Super Bowl, even when we're talking about it. But
we watched Super Bowl 2004. I think the Habs played the Lakers.
So before we get into match-by-match breakdown of this fantastic deathly show. So overall impressions, I would say like it's a noticeable difference. Like year 2000 WCW was crazy but fun because it was so insane.
You had Vince Russo coming out. You had every match had ridiculous stipulations. You had tables, ladders, and chairs and stairs and titties.
Yeah, boobs everywhere.
So many boobs, which is great. Wrestling, the male demographic is what wrestling is directed to. So why not have major guns everywhere?
So, Major Guns is that lady wrestler with the guns.
Well, she's still, I don't know if she wrestles, but she does shoot AK-47s every time that she pulls her top off.
I don't know if she's a lady either. But yeah, so this pay-per-view, they were clearly turning the ship around. And they're like, let's get back to basics. Let's get back to just man-on-man, two-man wrestling with no weird stipulations and nothing.
They did a solid 360, but in the other way. Like, they did a 940.
And I think this proves that even though WCW in 2000, it was too much. It was ridiculous. It was too schmozzy and too crazy and no endings. And everything was dumb and insane and people were on fire. But old school wrestling, which I guess was what WCW was kind of built on in the olden days, and that's what the old timers like, it's boring. You can't do that. It's dumb.
But you also have to remember that we were watching, like, this was the second last pay-per-view ever of WCW.
I think so, right?
It's up there. It's near the end.
Yeah. We need to remember that, like, this is a company that's on its last legs. It's got one foot in the grave. It's like doing what it can. The stadium was basically empty. Like, it was like very small.
It doesn't
stadium.
Realize it's got one foot in the grave, though. That's the part that I always notice about late WCW. It doesn't realize that when you put Sean O'Hare and Chuck Palumbo versus jobbers, and this is probably the Thunder the Night Before that I'm quoting, because that it's whole schmoz is coming up. You have to realize that on the other channel, when you're watching WWF, you're gonna see literally like 12 people that are huge names.
So yeah, I guess so how should we format this? Should we talk about WCW and then, like, we watched after we quickly scanned through the WWF pay-per-view from that same month. What was it? February 2001?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think let's do WCW first, cuz I think we can get through it pretty quick. There's it's not true. Really that much to say.
And I want to reference other moments and then give a good payoff, because that's the babyface Jason Sensation. That's what he does in all of his interviews.
So, yeah, you were saying about the crowd, Mike, too. I think that's very telling, is, like, the different eras. Like, if you watch 1998, like, Raw, it's crazy, like, how into it people are and how many signs there are. And then you can see through the eras how it changes. So 2001 WCW, not only were they not into it and barely paying attention, and we were saying, like, if cell phones had been invented, no one would be looking up, but the crowd didn't even make sense. It was like old ladies and shit.
Yeah, it was the front row was like all middle-aged women, and it was like they couldn't sell tickets, so they were like, well, there's a retirement home next door. Let's just go see if anyone wants to see a wrestling show.
And yeah, and it's not like they're not way up in the rafters. They're right there.
Yeah. Front row, like up against that metal like barricade.
And that's when I really noticed something was wrong, was, we'll get to the main event, but I was kind of into it and the crowd was not. They didn't care.
There's no way they paid for tickets, because they didn't really, they seemed indifferent to everything. Because when we watched that WWE pay-per-view later, they were into everything.
Yeah.
Like, that's what the crowds are supposed to do.
And regardless of how weird, and as you'll hear, this weird WCW pay-per-view was, if I could have been front row, if I'm front row for any wrestling event, I don't care what it is, it's going to be cool.
It goes back to the whole idea that we were watching the Gab 2000. And I said earlier when we first started, I was like, watch, this audience is going to be out of control for no reason. And this was the first time, like, I've been watching like some of the like bits and pieces of the pay-per-views in and around Gab 2000, and what I noticed is back then, like, the audiences would lose their mind for nothing, and then when I was like,
guy kissing his muscles and then doing push-ups,
and then I was hyping up the fact, like, guys, you guys aren't even going to be able to handle how intense this crowd is going to be. They're going to be so ridiculous they don't even know. And that's where my whole theory that, like, WCW fans had Stockholm syndrome, because they were just like, they were just trying to stay with it, and they knew they stood behind their product, but at the same time, it's all Southern rednecks, and, like, yeah. I don't know if they really know what they want. Like,
and your theory has merit. Like, I'm sure they had Stockholm syndrome for a while, but I think at this point, everyone had given up. Like, for a company to be at the point where they are just about to crumble, like, they've lost all their fans. Yeah, everyone's abandoned them.
That's too, like, that's such a sign it was over, is, like, I'm sure all those people did have Stockholm syndrome 2 months before that.
And
when the Stockholm syndrome breaks, when that wave breaks, there's nothing left.
Yeah, yeah. The people that are just hanging on and for no good reason, when they leave, there's no one left.
Yeah, that's when you're like Elizabeth Smart or whatever, and you're just living with your captors, and one day you're just like, no, I'm going home. Like, I can't do this.
I think it's more like when you're the billion-dollar baby, and you trip and fall during a match and break your neck and make no money.
It's funny you should mention that, because the tripping and falling, because that was what we noticed about this pay-per-view.
Yeah, I really wanted to push this off segue by botching something I said, but since I'm the perfect one.
Well, you did say billion-dollar baby, and it was million-dollar baby, you fucking piece of dog dirt.
I thought I was thinking of the $100 baby, these It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia episode, based on the same.
But yeah, so it was last episode, what was it? It was all army men and boobs and weird stipulations and belts, where this time it was botches.
It was botches, and it was garbage, and it was the stupidest wrestlers that suck today and are dead, versus we go back to the same pay-per-view from the same month, and that had army men and boobs and RTCs, which are rights to censor. We had a hoe train, we didn't, but like the cat was there, and Jerry Lawler.
Oh man, we had some. Actually, I don't want to spoil it.
I really just want to run down the matches so we can talk about the greatest pay per view, No Way Out 2001.
Yeah, so okay, so yeah, let's get this WCW Super Brawl 2001, which again, I take full responsibility for. This is my fault.
It had that weird beginning where the serial killer was cutting out.
Oh yeah, okay, so Super Bowl 2001, it was like, again, how everything in wrestling is kind of based on pop cultural whatever. So it was just like the opening of Seven, except, I mean, it was the best editing job of the night, but it was terrible.
Oh, so bad. Yeah, I mean, in fact, my note, the only note I have written for that is bullshit intro.
Yeah, I said weird beginning, Seven-like, like the movie.
Yeah, very Seven-like.
Then I said egomaniac and psycho are the only ones I caught. But they were showing wrestlers and giving them like a moniker, which did not play out at all.
That was the thing too, in the Seven intro, it was that remix of Closer that made it so cool. And this just had nothing and weird breathing. But I just realized, what if it had a cool song and they didn't have the licensed music, so it just had the weird breathing? Or is WCW terrible? I'm going to go with they're terrible.
I think they're terrible.
But it was an amazing amount of work for someone to put in, because it was clear no one else put any work into this. And yeah, and it just wasn't good. Like one of my favorite things, I used to do a lot of video editing, and I really did used to use WWF as a template of, like, that's what amazing editing is like, when they do packages and
stuff. And we talked about you progressively through the night, you were getting more and more irate with how terrible the editing is. And then immediately we switched to No Way Out, and it's just like we're watching a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was so much better.
The difference was so clear. Like, it wasn't even, I was like, well, maybe WWE was similar at this time, but when we switched, it was like, it was light years ahead.
And then, yeah, like, whenever they would show, like, previously on Nitro what happened, it was, for some reason, the frame rate just dumped out. I don't know what you call that. I guess still frame rate, right?
Edited it that way. Are you talking about the flashbacks to Thunder and Nitro?
Yeah.
No, they edited it that way.
And it was, like, 12 frames a second. It was so awful. Yeah.
And I think it was a situation where,
like, it was supposed to be cool.
But also it was on pre-HD television, so you had the situation where you were editing it down and then editing it down, and then you get to this point where you're trying to upscale everything, and then you have it be all choppy and weird, and then
it was almost like they had ringers, like people from WWF got hired as WCW video editors to make the product look like dog shit.
It's like the company was so poor that they just had to hire homeless people to do the video editing.
Yeah.
But the thing is the company had more money than the WWE.
And it really was, it had way more money.
Ted Turner's backing, you know?
And I can't even think of, like, what software were they even using? Like if you do in-video editing on YouTube right now, it's miles better than that. It's just, it was so shit. Oh, and the
font?
The font, yeah, just as far as style goes, it wasn't quite Comic Sans.
It was close, though.
So close.
And it had that, what was it called, back shadow? Drop shadow, yeah. It looked like something you did for your grade 4 science project on your Bristol boards. Made a lemon into a battery, and you say, hey, look, it's a battery.
Can you make a lemon into a battery?
I don't know. What am I, a doctor?
I'm having such a hard time not getting ahead of myself. But on the plus side, with all the terrible fonts.
You're at least
fonts,
a goddamn dentist.
With all the terrible fonts, they did usually say the right name.
Oh,
we'll get to that.
Let's just get to the first match.
Sorry,
the first match of the night was a tag, what's known now as a tag team turmoil. What ends up happening is Evan Courageous and Jamie Noble are a tag team.
Can you spell Courageous for me, by the way?
K-A-R-A-G-Y-S is how I wrote it, and I don't think that I'm too far off.
No, it was K-A-R-A-G-I-A-S, I think. Courageous. And Noble is also spelled, they're both spelled wrong, but also both spelled with a K.
Well, so his last name is Noble, so you spell it weird.
But with a K, was it? Because in WWF, he wasn't with a K. Was
no,
it?
Was he with a K? And
yeah, he was Noble with a K.
Fuck
like
off.
Like a silent K.
No way.
Yeah.
Like a knight?
That's how I remember it.
Jesus.
I don't know. Who knows? I wouldn't put it.
I don't mean to put a stop on this entire podcast, but we got to watch the tape.
I think they might have just put a K on everything. Chronic, I noticed, had a backward,
it's a backwards K.
Even in that font, they had a backwards K just for those boys.
So the, so the next fuck. So the next tag team that comes out are the Jung Dragons. It's,
I just wrote down Asians.
Oh,
were they? Yeah. That's right. This was. I feel bad now that I'm not giving this match respect. This was the coolest match.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah, we did have the notion at the very top of the match that we thought, oh, this could, it's all cruiserweights. This could potentially be the best. And then it was.
Yeah, so Evan Courageous and Billy Kidman.
Billy Kidman.
And Jamie Noble versus the Jung Dragons.
I'm the Jung Dragons, Yang and Hybe Eshi, or Kai Hybe something. But it turns out that the Yang in that tag team is Jimmy Yang Wang, who had the, it was the Asian dude with the cowboy gimmick, which lasted about 4 weeks.
Yeah, I remember somehow when I used to just randomly tune in, I saw him as a cowboy. I did think that was really funny. I liked that gimmick.
But what we noticed is they sort of dwindle down in numbers. Then Yang finally gets his moment in the sun. He botches a Russian leg sweep. Then he goes to do like a backflip off the middle rope and just disintegrates. And then still does his final move in the sequence and gets the win.
Yeah. Oh, and then somewhere in there, three count came out also.
Oh, right. Yeah, I just got to talking about the match. Yeah, no, actually what happened there is Shannon Moore comes out, and then he wasn't sure who his tag team partner was going to be. Then it turned out to be Shane Helms. And
Unsure Shannon Moore, they used to call him.
Yep. Old Unsure Shannon Moore versus Sugar Shane Helms.
And that was Moore with a K at the front.
With a backwards K.
Also, you did forget about the move that he did that we called the dick tickler.
Oh! Oh, yeah. And when Evan Courageous...
Gregory Helms came out. Okay, go on.
Evan Courageous... Oh, not... Gregory Helms. Oh, right. He wasn't Shane Helms. Evan Courageous just does a full-on dick grab to...
More than once.
Yeah, he kept Helms. Doing it.
Yeah, like held, like grabbed and held. Now, I don't know why we're fixating on that so much, but just imagine if you're at your job and you're just like, hey...
That's a good point.
You know, like...
You're working for Q at CBC?
Yeah, this is the thing. No, that would be the opposite of what happened to poor Gregory Helms. So anyway, he gets his dick tickled, and we see a big Papa Dump poster in the crowd.
There were a lot of funny posters tonight. Like, somebody just said, like, really terrible and just, like, trash, garbage, or whatever.
Like, yeah, like, really lame, I think, was the sign.
Yeah, and the crowd was so, like, uninterested and, like, undense. So it was, like, what's the opposite of dense?
Like...
Sparse?
Sparse, yes.
So, like, people were... There was this constant stream of people walking past the camera through the aisles holding signs up and like so you could read the signs. So I kept seeing different signs all the time passing by.
The audience at that time, they used to pull shit like that in the smaller crowds.
I thought of the term. They were diffused about the arena.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. That's better than sparse.
Diffused everywhere.
Yeah.
Do you remember, all too, over their face and
we
neck?
Couldn't tell, and this kind of makes sense because even the people front row were barely moving. We were like, I don't think there's anyone in the upper deck, like the upper bowl. And it turns out there was. They just were not moving at all. And they may have been.
Asleep.
Yeah. They may have been
cut. It's like when you have nosebleeds at a concert, you're not going to cheer that hard. You're going to be more like, oh, we're just here watching a show.
Yeah, but when I was at WrestleMania 18 in like...
The back row.
At the Sky Dome, like, I could... If I put my hand behind my head, I would have felt the concrete, the hard concrete of the outside of the Sky Dome. And everyone was into it. It was WrestleMania, but yeah.
Yeah, but this was Super Brawl 2001, where the main event was not Goldberg. Oh, also, I want to point out, this is a super special reveal of something I wrote that you guys don't know that I was thinking.
Are you shit kicking me right now?
All of the guys in this match, referee included, we were talking about what if the referee was super small and all the wrestlers were also small. No, Everybody in this match made Jamie Noble look like a normal sized person.
Yeah, it is a shame. Like, wrestlers, like, small wrestlers are awesome, but then they get that, yeah, it's just like they're too small. But you don't really even notice it on TV. Like, the first time I went to a house show, I couldn't believe how tall wrestlers are. It's fucking mind blowing because you just, it's weird that Vince is so into tall guys because you don't notice on TV that much.
He's into tall, muscular guys, but you ever just see like a, like, we're not short guys. We're all like, you know, 5'11", 5'12",
6'2", baby.
6'7".
I'm as tall as, who's 6'2"?
14'8", myself.
Daniel Bryan.
He's like 5'11", at best. But it's weird to see a really tall person. And then, this is just me, but do you ever just be like, yo, you ever think about being a professional wrestler? And then they just laugh it off, like, that's the first time that question has ever been asked to me. And then you think in your head, well, if I was super tall, I'd want to be asked if I was a professional wrestler.
Ask him.
Ask him!
Yeah, a lot of people don't know this. Because, like, everyone's so tall, it's hard to tell. Like, you know, everyone just kind of looks the same height. A lot of people don't know this. Hornswoggle's 6'12".
Yeah. No, it's true.
It's not even a real height.
6'12 is 14 feet tall, yeah, yeah. on the Imperial system.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was my idea, was like, yeah, if everybody was like the cruiserweight size, but all the refs were just even smaller. They were Seth Green height, like 5'4". Like, yeah. then there you go. You're all good.
It looked like giants.
I remember that I heard that joke somewhere of like, it would be awesome if WWE brought back midget wrestling, and then the other guy was on some podcast, he's like, yeah, they have that, it's called NXT.
I think it might be worse than Brutality Against Women to actually have full-size dudes fighting Hornswoggle. Even though I'd like to see Big Show versus Hornswoggle, I think that's, besides Sting versus HBK, I think Hornswoggle versus Big Show is a fantasy match at the very top of the list.
We were talking before about Diesel versus Fake Diesel.
Oh, dude, yeah, I think they could make that work with the network existing.
Who would you rather wrestle? Would you rather wrestle 10 Big Shows that are Hornswoggle sized, or one Hornswoggle that's Big Show sized?
Oh my god, I'd rather not wrestle.
I just want to see what a Hornswoggle that's Big Show size looks like, so I'd fight him.
It would just be the Big Show in slightly smaller clothes.
But he'd still have dwarf proportions, except he's huge. Like, he would still look like that.
Yeah, but 10 Big Shows that were Hornswoggle size? That's a terror nightmare. They're going to be the general managers of everything.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I might cut this part out of the podcast.
Yeah, no, that's fair. But that would be... Yeah, that's fair. So... Turns out...
So six guys were wrestling.
No,
and they were
trying to do one of those beat, an editing beat.
Okay, nice.
Well, you walked all over it.
Now I got to leave all this in, though, because now I think it's editing jokes. Like, those are funny.
Yeah, no, it's great. Shannon Moore turns on Helms because I don't know if you pointed out at the beginning that they're part of 3 Count. And all of you smarks out there, you have to note, they did actually keep their original theme. It wasn't trademarked. They have that stupid boy band song. That's really, really good and stupid.
And that was the one thing about that match that killed me is, you know, like when people just don't do what's logical in a wrestling match, you know? And the one thing in this that was really weird is it was, what is that called? Like tag team turmoil or something, when you can tag in anyone?
Yep.
So for no reason, unsure Shannon Moore turned on Gregory.
No reason.
Unsure.
On Deep Elm Gregory Helms. Yep. And... but and he's pinned. So they're both on 3 Count. They're both in the same team. Shannon Moore pinned Gregory Helms, so he's going to take out his own team member and help everyone. And Kaz still broke up the pin.
That's a perfectly reasonable thing to say. It's the same as like what we were talking about last week, where you climb to the top rope, botch just falling onto the mat, and then do it again.
Right.
Like, there's these weird wrestling kayfabe intricacies that you have to follow, and you're talking behind the match, and you're talking about how you're going to do a move that ends in you falling through tables and the other person not getting like it touched. That's a really weird, like, imagine, not to do this again, but imagine going to work tomorrow and this person tells you to climb a ladder, and then to get paid,
your boss Hornswoggle is like, climb this ladder.
10 Hornswoggles.
A Big Show sized Hornswoggle.
Man, that's one thing, though, about we were saying, like, if we watched old pay-per-views, we would probably die of the boringness. Yeah. But I have heard that especially, like, 1980s tag team matches are cool because they do follow all the rules, like, all the sensible, logical rules of ring psychology. So, I mean, that would be cool. That would be nice.
That's absolutely true. But what's that to me is still boring. Where are the tables, ladders, chairs, stairs, pairs? Where's Claire? Where are the boobies? Where are the YouTubers? You know, like, who knows?
So did you write down who won that match?
Hurricane Helms won. And I wrote some illegible words. And then what we get to see is remember the cam footage of Ric Flair talking to a Road Warrior Animal?
The security footage with just the overlay, yeah.
It was so bad.
It was really bad.
It was not even clear what was happening. There was like, it was meant to look like security cam footage where it was really just like, just some weird overlay over top of regular footage. And it was Ric Flair talking to two people.
Yeah, it probably is partially our fault for how little attention we pay. But yeah, like all night, Ric Flair was running around with his bow tie and his suit, and he's talking to people, and he's wheeling and dealing, and I don't know what it was about.
I think we made a joke at the beginning that was like, oh man, what's the worst thing that can happen? And then botches started happening, and then we made another joke that's like, oh, well, at least the botches won't continue, and there won't be one in every single match or anything. So guess what happens? Yeah, and it right down to I botched the next line that I wrote. Reaction came and gave him direction. Oh, huge erection came and gave direction. Oh no, it was that. Remember, you told me to write that down.
So this was this weird backstage thing to set up the match where. So since last time, since you last heard from us, there's this team called Misfits in Action. You might remember them because of a young lady of the night named Major Guns.
Lady of the night, are you kidding me right now? She is a top quality.
And yeah, I guess that has that. So that does solve from last pay-per-view, MIA versus the Filthy Animals. Filthy Animals win because MIA is not a thing anymore. So General Yuji Rection is back to being Hugh Morris. Wouldn't have been as weird, except they did it twice. They do it later again, where someone directing these things was like, here's what you do. Don't talk to anyone. Don't look at the camera. Just look off at a three-quarter perspective to no one and talk to yourself. So yeah, who was he talking about? Who did he wrestle?
He wrestled, well, before that, Lance Storm is the commissioner.
Well, I'll tell you who he wrestled against, because I have right here, Hugh Morris versus Fat Guy Spike Hair.
It's the
wall.
It's the wall.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, right. So the wall.
You mean his name is not Fat Guy Spike Hair?
No, his name is Fat Guy Spike Hair. I think he used to be Roadblock, and he was with Berlin as the wall. Also, it was his hardcore moniker. He was super hardcore, another fucking power plant reject. But we kind of glazed over the fact that fucking Lance Storm, this has nothing to do with what happens later in the show, but Lance Storm is the commissioner. Do you guys have any memories of that?
Man, I mean, he didn't seem to do much, and this is the end of his reign, we found out, sadly. But I was just happy to see Lance Storm again. I always did love Lance Storm. He's just a good guy. A boring guy, but a good boring guy.
You hashed this out already last episode, but he has this no charisma at all.
Yeah.
He just sounds like a robot.
No, I wrote down The Wall versus Huge Erection, Feud of the Century. Then after that, I just wrote Huge Erection. So you could tell how much I was paying attention to that match.
But that's what, it's kind of neat to try to piece together what happened. So clearly at some point the wall was part of Misfits in Action and they changed his name to AWOL. Which, what does that really mean?
Away on leave.
Absent without leave.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Maybe you get a soundbite of just one of us saying it. Go ahead, because you said it correctly.
Yeah, that's fine. Absent without leave.
But yeah, so that's what Hugh Morris, who's staring at no one, and he's just like, yeah, maybe General Rection pulled up AWOL. General Rection gave him a reason to exist. General Rection gave him direction. It's like, ah, that was gold.
That's perfect. He came back full circle.
But then he's like, but not me, not who? 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 Because that's what it says on the front of his shirt. Hugh, it says on his back, in case you could.
So he wasn't even Hugh Morris again. He got a Divas or a Big E situation where they just took away his name, and it was just Hugh.
But I guess that's his whole reason for fighting the wall, is just like, I used to be called General Rection, and now I have a different name, so fuck it, I'm going to fight this guy.
Yeah.
And somebody won, I don't know.
And it was just two like fat lumbering guys. Yeah. I couldn't care about it. It was so long. I mean, it might have been 1 minute. I don't know, but it was so boring.
That's when I started to get this real sense that like the crazy fun of Gab 2000 was gone. Like, I'm like, what is going on here? This is so long and boring.
We watched a shitty pay-per-view. Like the Gab 2000 would have been shitty, but if you were like a kid or if you were like watching it for the first time, like we did, we got general enjoyment out of it because of how over the top and ridiculous it was. But this pay-per-view was like you said before, we're trying to turn it around. WCW is going in a new direction. What's the worst thing that could happen? It's not like Vince McMahon can come over and buy us. We'll just stay the course. We'll do some good matches. I'm doing air quotes right now. We'll just try to stay the course, and we'll make sure that our fans are entertained. And I'll ask you both right now, did any of those parts get met? Like, was any of that met by WCW in any stretch? Was anybody entertained in this pay-per-view? I don't think so.
Well, I kind of like the main event, but that's about it. But
that first match was good too.
Yeah, that first match was great.
Yeah, because it is like that was like the thing when WCW got all crazy and you know, reality TV crazy 1990s nutso. All the old school WCW fans would complain, like, I just want wrestling. I just want it back to the basics. But I really think that only worked when people kind of thought wrestling was real, or even like when wrestling was kind of more real because it was more like carnival style. Like, then sure, just two guys fighting. But when you know it's a scripted, it's a work, it's like, you got to give me something. Yeah. It's got to be something more than this.
No, this pay-per-view actually, like, we're two or three matches in, and it's already blown my mind about. It's already blown my mind as to how hard they're ripping off WWF. And when we talk about No Way Out 2001, you'll see, like, you go from a situation where you have fucking The Wall versus Hugh Morris as your heater, like, as you're getting the fucking crowd ready for what's going to come up. And then
I believe you mean big fat spiky hair man versus yeah, big fat non-spiky hair man.
Big spiky versus non-spike. And then you switch to WWF programming and you see, like, when we talk about the first match, you're all going to just ejaculate.
The worst match was good because there were no bad matches. The women's match was good. It was crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was it really was. Good. Stephanie it was McMahon better than trip. Any match in this pay-per-view that
it
we watched.
Was. That's true. So we get to Sean Stasiak and Mark Jindrak, who would go on to have a very boring career.
Yeah, although, Boring Thrillers.
As the...
Was that
the,
they were called?
Yeah.
But as the title at the bottom would call them Chuck Palumbo and Sean O'Hare.
Yeah. Yep. That definitely happened. That I've never seen it in real life, but they're coming out to the ring and they show the title card for the other tag team, which was Sean O'Hare and Chuck Palumbo, who are the tag team champions. So you think... Oh, well, if you're the champion in our company, we'll just show your names twice and screw these other guys.
I would love just to hear, like, the backstage, like, who was in the production truck that did that? And I bet they were like, oh, I can't believe it, I put the wrong name up. But then did they even get in trouble or did no one care?
I don't even think they noticed it happen, quite frankly. I think that Eric Bischoff was in the back doing cocaine off his own tits.
But then I was hoping so much that when Palumbo and O'Hare did come out, it would be the other titles, but they got it right.
Yeah, but then O'Hare came out, who, by the way, never give him a mic. Oh my god, it was what was it that he was like when you get in the ring, you're gonna be on your hands and knees so that you can kiss your own ass goodbye. I was like, what the fuck does it was because, any of this mean?
It was because Psycho Sid was out with an injury, so he had to be the new Sid. He had to fill the quotient of nonsense.
I think we should talk about that for a moment, not to fucking step on Sean O'Hare being awful on the mic, but they just suddenly cut to, this is what happened to Sid Vicious this week on Nitro. And then we just watch a man's leg get turned sideways.
Yeah.
If you're listening,
three times in a row, they wouldn't stop.
If you're listening to this, you know exactly what Sid Vicious injury we're talking about. And I was sitting there going, oh, it's him in street clothes. That's weird. Like, oh, I guess around this time, that's when he was doing his street fight. Oh, wait, he's going up to the top rope. This is, oh my God. He's jumping. And horrified.
Yeah, oh, it was so gross.
Oh, God, yeah, just one of those things where, like, the bones just bend in a way that it's not supposed to.
Just bizarre, too, because for wrestling, I mean, sadly, there's quite a few people getting dropped on their head things. That's what you always see on the internet. You really never see a guy's leg just break in half like a twig.
No, like football is the next closest that you'll see a guy's leg get turned sideways.
Yeah, or soccer, it happens sometimes.
Yeah.
But we did see Austin get basically paralyzed, but still somehow win the match, which was pretty amazing.
You know what's weird, just coming back to old Sean O'Hare, it is weird that he was that shitty. Like, it's interesting to watch someone's, like you guys were saying, how like The Rock's early promos, how bad they were. And then when we watched some 98 pay-per-view, like The Rock was, he was at about John Cena level. He was okay, but he wasn't great. And then by 2000, 2001, The Rock was fucking insane. So with O'Hare, I don't know why I'm comparing him to The Rock, but but by the end of O'Hare's run in like 2003, he had this gimmick where the whole thing was talking. He was just, and it was great. He was awesome at it. So I guess a man can change is what I'm saying.
Or was he really that good at it?
Yeah, I went back just recently because I was trying to remember what that character was. And those little vignettes are still on YouTube.
Heavily scripted, though.
Yeah, that's true.
How many takes did it take to get those, like, 40 seconds of good bit?
Yeah, and then that character lasted for, like, 2 weeks. And then O'Hare disappeared and then he died.
Yeah, they teamed.
He died?
Yeah.
Yeah, he died last year.
I don't remember if it was a suicide or just a death. I don't know.
I think his heart exploded because he was planning a comeback. And that's how wrestlers
so exciting
die.
That just, his heart grew 3 sizes.
Yeah, and then a fourth size, and then a negative one size.
Would you rather have 10 hearts that were
the size of Hornswoggle?
Size, or one Big Show heart?
Horse heart. Yeah. So anyway, Sean O'Hare amazes us all with a fucking senton as his finisher.
Yeah, that was
cool. Who was the guy with the turquoise gear?
I don't know.
Okay, well, I have turquoise dick written on my thing because I could very clearly see the... Like, I know exactly what that dude's
dick looks
like. I think
that was Mark Dindrak, right?
No, I think that was actually Sean O'Hare. Because I remember being able to see the outline of his penis and balls, like, pretty...
Yeah, well, whoever it was, I could see... I know exactly what his dick looks like, and not bad. Is he, good job, turquoise dick.
That should have been General Erection. The new General Erection. Except, I guess, maybe they couldn't call him Yuji Erection. They just mean, like, average.
So, next we get a backstage interview with somebody. I just wrote backstage interview with. Then we move on to Ray is a horny devil. Mysterio has delightful horns that he comes out to fight Chavo Guerrero.
What a bizarre match. I forgot about that. Yeah.
For the cruiserweight title.
So basically, I think, so Ray still didn't have his mask. I guess he never got it back in his tenure in WCW because he only had another month to go before it was over.
And they gave it back to him immediately.
But it was so clear how much he missed his mask. Like, not only does he have his mask tattooed on his arm, and he's a fucking luchador. He's just supposed to have a mask. So he has these... Oh, God.
Well, no, continue.
He has these horns glued to his head, and as soon as the horns come off, as they inevitably do, he goes into the crowd, takes some kid's mask, not only puts it on himself, puts it on Chavo, just a mask.
No, that's not what happened at all.
Oh, I wasn't looking. Because I looked up and he had a mask, and I'm like, what?
I tried to stop you there because I thought you were going to get to that, but the thing that actually happened was I thought that they booked in this spot because of exactly what you just said, how the whole Mysterio thing was they were still playing on it, but once you take the mask off a luchador, like that you're taking their livelihood away from them. But what actually happened is Chavo went out and grabbed a fucking mask off a kid, put it on Ray after his horns had already fallen off, and then Ray would go on to put the mask on Chavo as sort of a, like, fuck you, like, I'll put my mask wherever I want because I'm Rey Mysterio.
I see.
I still don't understand that, the logic. Chavo was like, I'm going to show you, I'm going to put the mask on you.
I will disrespect you by putting a mask on.
My biggest point is that you pointed out the fact that they put a whole spot into the match that revolved around his mask in that whole schmoz of them wanting to make it seem like Rey Mysterio was this person with these horns that used to have this mask.
Basically, the whole thing was kind of a microcosm of WCW. It was, just a house divided against itself. Like, no one knew what was happening or what they were trying to do or what was going on. So much so that even me in the crowd, it's just like, I don't even know.
I don't know what the finish was. I just wrote that Chavo won after a good match. I thought that one was very good. There was a lot of high spots. It was the first time that we saw weapons as you know, by listening to Smarkamania Zero, you're going to just hear about all the spots that involve weapons. But this was the first time they did one of the old chairs in the corner that never got used. They did, like, the finish. Oh, I remember the finish of the match. Chavo got his other ring and cheated with a chair and hit him and then pinned him.
Classic.
Yep.
Although we did say we were talking about how, like, for us, there's no such thing as a one-star match because we just kind of get into it. But I don't know. Maybe tonight there was some. That one wasn't. That one
I think
was.
This entire pay-per-view was negative 16 stars.
Yeah.
This was the worst wrestling pay-per-view I've ever sat down and forcefully.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Made myself watch because holy shit, dude. Like, we were so excited talking about the pay-per-view, the Gap 2000.
Yeah.
And old SB 2001 literally didn't even have a flaming sting.
That's all I'm asking. It didn't have any sting.
It didn't have any sting.
Or Vampiro.
Yeah.
So we get a backstage interview with Bryan Adams where he was basically made of wood. He's a wooden man.
Oh, yeah, because that's where he was talking to Lance Storm about something about medical clearance or something. And when you're more stiff and wooden than Lance goddamn Storm, yeah. You have serious problems.
You mean a serious, technical, out of the ordinary real man?
Oh, yeah, that was a sign someone had. They spelled out Storm. Serious, technical, out of the ordinary real man.
Yep. If there's anything I've known about Lance Storm, it's those things. So Rick Steiner continues the botch festival by dropping his United States title, but not dropping it in a match sense, like literally comes out. He's so psyched that he's the United States champion, drops his belt on the entrance. Yeah. This every one of these matches had some sort of disgusting botch, save the cruiserweight matches.
Well, the first six man had a bunch of fucked up shit.
That's when, that's actually true because Yang couldn't stand eventually.
Yeah, no, even the cruiserweight matches because Ray fell. Remember?
He attempted one of those middle ropes. Like if you're in WCW in 2001, just do not attempt to do basically a lion salt.
Yeah.
Chris Jericho, if he would have attempted a lion salt in WWF, he would have been fine. But if he was back with the shitty WCW boys, he would have botched a lion salt because of how many people botched off the middle rope.
They definitely greased up them ropes.
Old greasy.
But yeah, no, Rick Steiner, couldn't believe it. Just like, how do you... I've never seen that before. You're just walking down the ramp and you drop your belt. Yep. How is that even possible?
And but they use that angle. Like, I feel like they could have edited away from that or something. But no, it was just like we watched him walking down and just dropping the belt.
Although I think that was also that cameraman who's down at the bottom of the ramp. That was the one where in the upper left corner of the camera, it was like the lens cover was closed a little bit. Yep. So it was a black thing in the corner. Stayed there for the whole pay-per-view.
So while you guys remember all this nostalgic stuff about this garbage pay-per-view watch, keep in mind that Rick Steiner is fighting Dustin Runnels.
Oh yeah, right. Who was far less cool than he ever was as Goldust. He looked a lot like now I forget his name.
McBride.
Danny McBride, yeah. He really had that vibe, that mannerism.
Just a greasy, gross guy.
Yeah. And the idea I had, what came to me immediately, is like if you're Goldust, you have this repertoire and this moveset that enables you to do all this weird shit, like all this bizarre stuff, and you can have all these moves that don't make any sense. You take the makeup off that guy, and for some reason, he has a creator wrestler moveset.
Yeah.
He just immediately goes punch, kick, fall, punch, leg drop, and that, like, I couldn't even believe it that I've seen him wrestle as Dustin Runnels back in his early WCW run, and it was the same thing. And put a cowboy gimmick on a guy that had a Gold Dust gimmick. Like, it's ridiculous. And it's weird because you know that that's what Dustin Runnels wanted all along. That's what Goldust wants to be. He wants to be like a macho cowboy man. But, you know, the powers that be just made him Goldust. But Goldust is so iconic and such a great character in wrestling that he must go out there and try to do this and be just like, I guess so, I get to do what I want. But it's like... it's like American Badass Undertaker. You just always wanted to go back to be the Undertaker.
He did do the Shattered Dreams, though.
Yeah, that was the one time the crowd kind of gave a fuck.
Yeah.
It is really weird, too, with Dustin Runnels, because as Goldust, yeah, like, he just has a great ring presence, and he just seems so cool. But, yeah, like, under the makeup, I don't like that guy.
No, he seems like he'd be a bad dude under the makeup.
Yeah.
So the finish is Dusty, which I pointed out was kind of weird considering it was the son of Dusty Rhodes. Rick Steiner exposes the turnbuckle, hits Dustin's head on it, and that's when Rick retains the title, and that's when Dustin gives him the Shattered Dreams.
And that's that.
Yeah, see, like, you're just, if we couldn't stop talking last time, and if we have a dead silence right after we finish what happened in the match, like, you gotta know.
Yeah, so, I gotta say, yeah, that's the thing, too. If this podcast isn't as fantastic as our previous one, don't give up on us, no, listeners, because it's WCW and 2001's fault.
Yeah. We're also gonna talk about amazing pay-per-view immediately following me getting through this next match that I don't even think we have to give any real time to, because, look, the last pay-per-view I will give, compared to this one, a solid 4 out of 5 stars, but I shouldn't have gone so far as to say that I'll never give a match a 1-star match, because I'm giving this pay-per-view a 2 stars, and 2 stars for a podcast that doesn't give a 1-star means that I'm giving it a fucking 1-star.
Yeah.
Logic.
But you're forgetting one big thing about this match that puts it into the 2-star, 3-star range.
10-star, fuck it.
The big, I mean, I don't want to jump to the end.
It's only out of 5 stars.
I don't want to jump to the end, but it was the big fake mustache reveal.
That's what's about to happen right now.
I thought that's what we're talking about.
No.
Sorry, I jumped ahead.
So, the team of Lex Luger and Buff
still looking good, even in 2001, still very swole.
Yeah, very swole, like, deflated almost the next day.
Yeah.
Lex Luger and Buff...
That night in bed, he just started just shrinking.
Lex Luger and Buff the Stuff Bagwell.
Oh, fucking Buff Bagwell. Yeah, so I couldn't believe that. He's walking out of the ring, and I was literally... The words were on the tip of my tongue. I was just about to say, what a douche. And at that moment, he takes off his top hat to show the camera that there's an airbrush picture of his own face on the top of his top hat. And it just took the words out of my mouth. I was shocked.
You don't have to say it anymore.
Yeah.
What, you don't have a top hat with your own face airbrush?
No, but if I had a top hat with Buff Bagwell's face on it, I would wear it sometimes.
Oh, my God.
On dates and stuff, OK Cupid, it'd be awesome.
Speaking of OK Cupid, here comes fucking Chronic.
Oh, yeah, that was cool, though, because I was saying, like, how come there's never been a wrestler with a Matrix gimmick? And then we saw that Chronic's entrance video has the Matrix.
Before that, I pointed out it was Gail Kim, but for the sake of our watching experience tonight, I could not believe that you were like, what? Well, how come there's no Matrix gimmick? And then fucking not an hour later, they have the Matrix lettering, like trickling down behind Chronic. And it's interesting to note that it turns out that Wrath, who is the other guy that isn't Brian Adams, a.k.a. Crush, was also Adam Bomb, which I learned tonight. And also, that wasn't Wrath at all. That wasn't him.
That was actually the legitimately coolest part of this pay-per-view.
They did this weird schmoz where they turned down the lights, and it looked like Brian Adams' tag team partner came out and helped him. But what happened, Mike?
He took off, at some point, he took off the mustache that he was wearing, a fake mustache, and it was Mike Awesome underneath.
Yeah, that was legitimately surprising, because, yeah, nobody noticed.
I was like, well, how is that possible? Like, nobody noticed? Like, I wouldn't have recognized the difference from some, you know, 10, 13 years ago, Mike Awesome. Now, he looks very different now. Have you seen him lately?
No. Well, I mean, I assume he looks like a disintegrating corpse.
Yeah. He looks like Lex Luger.
You fucking smarks.
Do you think backstage they were like, I don't know if this Mike Awesome wearing a beard thing is going to work. Like, if the crowd notices, we're sunk.
And guys, what if we turn the lights down?
But then also I think they were like, oh, it's sweet. Look at this crowd. They're not even paying any attention. We're going to get away with this for sure.
Yeah. Those old ladies at the front don't know what's going on.
But that was kind of cool because it really did surprise me. It was, you know, it was like when Bischoff was dressed like a weird old pastor.
Yeah, for the
in 2003.
Billy and Chuck.
I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry.
Yep.
Segment. Yeah, no, that was kind of neat. I kind of forgot about that. That was actually pretty cool.
No, I had...
And imagine how shocking that would be. You think like, all right, my buddy's got my back. What if one of you guys right now took off your mustache and you're Mike Awesome and then you start just punching me in
what
the face?
What if I took my mask off and I was you?
Jesus. And then I took your mask off and you were
what if one of you took yeah the spirit gum and the beard off and you were 10 Hornswoggles. Like, what am I gonna do with that? I can't. It's already hard enough to corral this podcast. What am I gonna
do? Could you imagine if one of us exploded into 10 Hornswoggles dressed as Big Show? Holy fuck,
that's like the boss of the WCW video game.
No Mercy. Yeah. No one, not many people get to the end of No Mercy, yeah. But that's what happened.
Yeah, that's actually the finish for that game.
But I was impressed because, like, fake mustaches and stuff, like, you know, like on SNL, it's like they always start falling off. But, like, I didn't see that coming at all.
And that's when having a bunch of action figure wrestlers, see, already we've perked up because of crazy Vince Russo style nonsense. Like, a little bit of it is good. It really helps.
Just, like, look, if they could take the best things about No Way Out 2001 and the one best thing about, I can't even remember what this pay-per-view is called, fucking Mayhem?
Backslash,
oh,
I think it was.
Oh, but Super Wrestle.
Did we mention, dude, it's not even only called Super Brawl, it was a Super Brawl Revenge.
Revenge. Which I pointed out also was that old NWO Revenge or WCW Revenge game had the same, like, cutout from magazines, letters, like, font. There's a lot of font things going on in this entire pay-per-view that we all had problems with. It was basically Comic Sans, but, like, if Comic Sans was all roided out with a back acne and everything, the whole like nine.
If Comic Sans ate bad oysters and diarrhea all over the stage.
No, like, really bad oysters. Like, like, if you get, like, take, like, a McDonald's burger and you just, like, eat it.
Yeah. No, that's crazy. Is that what you do with McDonald's burgers?
I try.
God, you are a wild card.
Pretty sure I just spit all over Keith. Whatever. So, the next thing I noticed that we all noticed and we had been noticing for quite some time was there was no ladies.
Yeah, yeah. The other one had tons of, and like they were a little bit of those creepy late 90s like action figure women. But I mean, I'm not going to lie. I was into that.
There weren't even because at this point in the game, Ernest the Cat Miller hadn't even come out. That's the next match, Ernest the Cat Miller.
And he had some chick that was just like, whatever.
I think it was like...
Yeah, no Stacey Keibler, no Tori Wilson, no Nitro Girls, no nothing.
And I had hypothesized that they had already left, but no, like, as you pointed out, I think we both were still there at the end, you know? Like, they were probably just at home, sitting on their couch, getting paid. They were probably there in spirit.
Some goddamn German pay-per-view that night.
Yeah. So Lance Storm cuts...
It's Lance Storm versus...
It's Ernest Miller, the Cat Miller. Ernest Miller is the first lady, first lady of wrestling. The first guy that comes out with a lady on this pay-per-view.
Well, this is also a match, just for clarity. This is a match that so Lance Storm is currently commissioner, and if he loses, then Ernest the Cat Miller becomes commissioner. I believe that's my understanding of this match.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I didn't even realize that until you pointed that out to me after the match was over.
I overheard the commentator saying something like that, yeah.
And he did Lance Storm did his favorite, his classic bit that I used to love so much, like, if I could just be serious for a minute, and then if everyone could stand for the Canadian National Anthem, but it didn't even get a chance to start.
It didn't happen. Ernest Miller comes out. Calls him a Power Ranger a couple times.
Yes,
Canadian call him Power Ranger.
Yeah, Canadian fake Power Ranger, or something to that.
And they fight a bit, and Cat wins, and he's the commissioner.
Well, before that, we did get to see that spot that I'm sure was planned, where Lance Storm actually hits his face off the lens of the camera. You see just Lance Storm face right into the. He just gets bashed by it, and DDP versus. Double J Jeff Jarrett.
Right, so this one was kind of neat because I do like DDP, and it's always the best thing you can do with a face is have them up against terrible odds. So the big shock here was, I guess this was it was kind of the greatest interference in a match ever, where instead of just interfering with a quick, like, distracting the ref or hitting someone with something, he sent in who better than Kanyon to wrestle a whole additional match first.
This was my favorite, I think, out of all of it, this was my favorite thing ever, because first Double J comes out, you think DDP and Double J are going to throw down, But no, Double J comes out and he says, look at this video package of me just making you skip, like your voice skip, like, I, but with like a Max Headroom background. Like they even did like the white lines on black, like.
And even when they cut to DDP, he's just watching it like a, he's just like, I don't even know what this is supposed to mean.
He was just like, I'm not entirely sure what you're getting at. Like, I don't know how you're like burning me or cutting me right now.
But like, and then, yeah, like, so he was just distracting him so that Kanye could come out from under the ring.
Yeah. So was like, Chris Kanye under the ring the whole goddamn time for no reason?
Had to have been.
Yeah. And then so he came out. And DDP had his back turned, so Kanyon could have literally done anything he wanted, and he just gave him a little cross chop along his back and was like, gotcha, you're it. Like, he could have done anything. He could have given him, like, a suplex or something.
But still, at the end of the day, who better than Kanyon? Who better than Kanyon? Nobody. Kanyon wins.
Yeah, Kanyon won. That's right. That was what was weird. Is like DDP. That was this whole thing was kind of neat. Because
my question though is that match in the WCW records as a win over DDP, or is this some weird schmoz between?
I'm gonna guess it's two matches.
Yeah, and why did DDP even agree to this? He's like, I guess Double J said I had to wrestle you.
Yeah.
But it was kind of neat because, it wasn't the standard just DDP wins two matches in a row. He did lose the first one to Kanyon to keep that feud going on for a whole other month.
That was the only feud that is continuing. The DDP and Kanyon thing went for a couple of years because it started out like, oh, me and Kanyon are best friends. And then Kanyon's like, who better than Kanyon? And then DDP's like, hey, man, I'm like the guy. Like, I'm the one that's going to go over. And then Kanyon's like, who better than Kanyon? Positively Kanyon. But DDP's like, no. Positively Paige. He's like, who better than Kanyon?
Good point.
This is sort of the blow off for everything I just said.
So then with this horrible defeat under his belt, then DDP still has to wrestle Jeff Jarrett. Yeah. It's like, crazy. And if I recall, he did, right? Did he win?
Well, what ends up happening is what I wrote down is...
he got hit in the back so hard that it made his front bleed.
No, that's the main event. So Jarrett and DDP happens now. They do a bunch of table spot stuff, which, as I'm thinking about it, I don't remember. But DDP does get busted open from what looks like the ear at first, but it's from his eye. So I think he hard waited. I don't think he cut. I don't think you would blade the side of your eye for a sweet blade job. Or you wouldn't throw a fucking spike into your ear canal to get a good blood out of your ear. You wouldn't do that. That seems counterproductive to your entire career. So anyway, DDP wins after interference from Kanyon on DDP.
Well, Kanyon comes. Yeah, Kanyon interferes. Jeff Jarrett accidentally hits Kanyon with his guitar.
Yep.
And I guess is so distracted that DDP is able to pull off the diamond cutter on him.
And also, what we pointed out is the diamond cutter on Jarrett was garbage.
Yeah, it was bad.
He just kind of slumped over. Like, he did not sell it.
In a weird way, yeah.
I think when we pointed out how it's the chosen one.
Yeah, that's the Jeff Jarrett's thing, was he was the chosen one.
And then come out to shitty country music.
But that is just like Ralph Wiggum, I choose you. not cool. I never thought, I was never into Jeff Jarrett that much, but that's got to be the least cool he ever was when he's a Ralph Wiggum gimmick. Like, Christ.
I think a Ralph Wiggum gimmick would go over way better than any of the gimmicks that were... No, I don't think anything went over on this pay-per-view.
You know who had a Ralph Wiggum gimmick? Was Perry Saturn when he got hit in the head and then hit Moffy was his friend.
He had more of a that movie with Tom Hanks gimmick.
Oh, yeah, Castaway.
Yeah, he had a Castaway gimmick.
But he was also super retarded. Like, he was saying stuff like... I want to teach dolphins sign language so I can tell them that I love them. I did love that.
I think he did something to somebody in the business and he got stuck with a mop with a face on it.
Yeah, he probably touched Stephanie.
Yeah.
Pulled an old Randy Savage.
That's an urban legend.
That's why Randy Savage was disappeared. McMahon has a lot of power.
The truth is, actually, Randy Savage just glued on some sideburns and he's been living his life as Positively Kanyon all
these years. Honestly, after what we saw tonight with Mike Awesome, any wrestler could be any other wrestler.
Yeah.
It was like Face Off. It was crazy.
It was actually like Face Off. Here we go, the main event. We have Stone Cold Kevin Nash versus Stone Cold Scott Steiner.
Yeah, and this as soon as this, they walked into the ring, and I'm like, oh, well, there's Medeja. That's nice. I mean, it's sad Scott Steiner, due to budget cuts, lost one of his freaks. But I was like, I'm not going to be into this. This match is going to suck. And I actually really liked this match. I thought it was super cool.
And at that point, we were super pissed about not seeing boobs, to the point that we were like 13-year-old boys going to rent a VHS tape on Saturday night and trying to get like meatballs or something that would show bush and boobs. At this point, we're just like, fuck yeah, Medeja's coming out. Then Nash is his opponent. He comes out in a wheelchair.
Oh yeah, because that's when they showed Sid's leg breaking 8 times.
And we talked about that earlier. But Jesus Christ, man, just go watch that. Just go watch that and just look at it.
And I think Scott Steiner was trying to brag about it just because he was in that match. It's not like he did it.
That was his opening promo. Yeah, he took credit for Sid Vicious going to the top rope as a man who has no business going to the top rope, trying to do some sort of jump kick and just put his ankle, like he switched his ankles. Like he had his left ankle and his right ankle, but then he switched them by falling on it wrong, and then also his foot was on backwards. It's really hard to look at. So go look at that.
Question about that. How did that match end? Do you know?
Yeah, what did they do after his leg snapped in half?
I think that the match just got thrown out. Last year on WWE TV, they were trying to do the old, if you're too incapacitated to continue to wrestle, they throw the match out. And I think back then, I think in that instance, if you ever see a match just get thrown out, it's legitimate. It's not kayfabe. Because it takes a lot to have to throw out a wrestling match like that. And I think that's what they would have done in that instance. We should probably watch that match and analyze it in as long a format as what we're doing right now.
You know what I was just thinking? Do you ever think do you ever wonder what it would be like to be in someone else's head? Like, I wonder how other people see the world and how different it is for me. Like, some people, it would be relaxing or whatever. Imagine being in Scott Steiner's head for just a minute.
I assume it sounds like...
I just like everything's just on fire. Like, just like, what is fucking... Like, just he's such a weird, pumped up, strange little... Holla, if you hear me.
No, I even said, like, they billed him as 6'2", and I was like, that can't be right.
He's wearing chainmail.
Yeah.
If he is 6'2", it's because he built up the muscles on the bottom of his feet to give him a few extra inches.
Yeah, he's like Goku, but like way worse.
Yeah, he's like a Super Saiyan that can't stop. He's just blah.
Or he's like a Super Saiyan that like can't reach even the first level of Saiyan. Like he just fucking gets too jacked. His heart's... That guy's going to die in 5 years or less.
Yeah, just like adrenaline pumping all the time while he's asleep. Just his dreams must be insane.
He shoots up adrenaline.
And his veins are insane. Yeah. He was just covered in veins.
What were you saying? Like, if his
insane
cock
in the
veins,
arm
like
vein. Insane in the arm.
Yeah, if his dick had like half as many veins as his arm.
I don't know what he can even do with that. But
I don't know. Not much.
Old Scott Steiner super dick vein super dick.
Yeah.
They changed the name of Super Brawl to Super Dick.
Yeah. I think that would be good.
Super cock.
WCW might have lasted a couple more years.
So apparently this match all along...
Just on the merit of his veiny dick.
Transitions, okay?
You know what was an amazing thing that just happened right now for a little inside scoop for the listeners? When Keith was laughing about the dick thing, he accidentally spit directly into my mouth. I felt it hit the back of my throat.
No, that's
just
the best.
Just like a super veiny dick jizzing into your mouth.
That's what you get for talking about super veiny dicks, Mike.
Well, I earned it.
I get a little fired up when I laugh about veiny Scott's
veiny
dick.
Start jizzing everywhere.
See, this pay-per-view is paying off. It took a little while to get going. But
I'm sweaty. So anyway, that match apparently was a loser leaves town match. Nash comes on a wheelchair with nurses. Yeah. That's what I was trying to get to.
Right, hot nurses.
We saw two more nurses, but they didn't even have like double fucking triple D boobs. They were like, looked like normal ladies.
Yeah. Like, you just know somebody who was in charge was like, we're not going to fight WWF on these terms anymore. We're just going to be good old-fashioned wrestling.
Yeah. It was kind of like they just went to the hospital down the road and they found two, like, Not horrendous looking.
And then put
nurses.
Them in slut clothes?
Yeah. And then we're like, all right, well, you guys look okay. How about you get in slut clothes?
But Nash's gimmick, foot gimmick, was kind of cool. Where, yeah. Oh, you thought he was coming out and he was all bandaged up because Sid Vicious broke his ankle, so did Kevin Nash. No, he stood right up and he had his diesel chaps on.
Yeah, it was an extremely elaborate prop. Like, it had a fake leg built into a fucking wheelchair.
Yeah,
it was
like a nice, like, knitted, like, quilt that he had draped over him.
That's true. He did have a quilt, which, actually, you know what? I don't think we spent enough time on the fact that he came out, like, with, like
my grandmother.
Does he have polio?
Like an Afghan. But the thing is, too, all that work, and, so it was, he was against Scott Steiner, and he had Ric Flair in his corner on commentary, who could apparently make
but
new
rules. No, we're gonna get to that. Guess what happens
but
next?
I feel like none of them even really reacted.
There's
like,
a first part.
Nash went
Nash
to all this
comes
work.
In, hits Steiner with the belt in the back of his head, causing Scott Steiner's front of his head to start bleeding. So Flair gets up on the apron and makes it a best of three falls match. Yeah.
Right.
So Kevin Nash has one fall in this match due to disqualification.
At which point, so the match presumably is immediately continuing.
Yep.
But inexplicably, they cut away to the backstage where they beat up who was it?
Diamond Dallas Page.
Yeah, who beats him up?
Was it Chronic
Totally
again?
Buff?
It oh no,
totally
it was
buff.
Yeah, it was right. It was
Buff Bagwell and Lex Luger come out and they throw him in a bin.
But they were already in their street clothes, like just they're so relaxed.
They got
already.
And showered up, and they were like, "We're gonna go out and take a hit on this guy." I'm sure the storyline will continue.
Yeah.
Later into this pay per view.
Yeah, just in the middle of a match, they cut away to DDP getting thrown in like a metal trunk.
Yeah, do you think in the writer's room they were like, look, DDP is a good guy. There's literally no way he's going to let these shenanigans go down. We need to deal with this so the fans understand why DDP is not helping anyone.
Yeah, because they didn't, I mean, spoiler alert, there's no resolution to that at all. He gets thrown in a trunk. And that's it. As far as we know, who knows what happened on Nitro.
In fact, they immediately cut back, and the match almost gets thrown out as a disqualification because Steiner's doing heel tactics all over the place. I think that's after the table spot happens. The table, the announce table, by the way, the monitors are actually inside the table. We actually thought it was funny that Tony Schiavone was clearly doing cocaine through the whole broadcast.
Yeah, even, he just had a mirror in front of him.
Yeah, it looked like there was a mirror, but that's where they were looking down into the monitors. But Flair then goes, hey guys, I'm Ric Flair in a tuxedo inexplicably. This is a Falls Count Anywhere match.
Yeah, and it was, I mean, that was kind of cool. Like, it was just, because it seemed so bad. It seemed like, oh, is this another horrible WCW booking? Like, this fucking match is just going to end immediately. But then it didn't. 2 out of 3 falls. And then, I guess I shouldn't be on Steiner's side, but I thought it was cool. He's like, he can't get Nash back in the ring, so fucking Flair's like, now it's Falls Count Anywhere. Like, it was the kind of fucking with the match that was, like, neat, because it was all applicable and appropriate, and it was just, it was cool. I liked it.
But it's good that you were on Steiner's side, because what ends up happening is they both get busted open. We speculated whether or not the blood was actually, like, Scott Steiner busts his head open early in the match, and we weren't sure that a headbutt from him to Nash caused their both heads to bleed, or if it was just a blood mark. But what I'm trying to say is Steiner actually puts Kevin Nash in the Steiner recliner after watching Scott Steiner bully Nash for like a solid five or seven minutes. Like, they were just falling down all over the place, and Scott Steiner managed to not botch in this time. But I mean, I don't know if that's the green side of the meadow, as they say.
Is so, I mean, everyone knows about blading. Do they ever use like just fake blood or something like that? Is that a thing? Because that's what this seemed like to me, because it didn't seem like there was a cut that was like constantly bleeding. It seemed like blood appeared on his head and then just kind of got wiped away and was gone after that.
Well, that's the part of wrestling that I've never really been able to wrap my head around. Because if you watch the like 1999-2000 era, like there's a lot of blood. But like, how much blood is real is the question. But at the same time, there's ways to like open yourself up and not have permanent injury. So what I've always imagined is where the spot that you blade on, take some of that that putty that you were talking about and put it there with a blood capsule, but one of those blood capsules that like has double the amount of blood, You know, like I always thought that would be an interesting thing to try. And I don't know anything about carnival wrestling. Like professional wrestling is a fucking carnival sport that happened and made people mark out. The reason our podcast is called Smarkamania is because of the carnival. So what I'm saying is, how much blood is real? And I guess that's the question.
Yeah, it does seem too with this, because this was obviously the leaner, meaner, more boring WCW. Like, I could totally see them using fake blood capsules, and maybe DDP's was just an accident, because it seemed more real.
But when we watched the WWE pay-per-view after, where clearly, like, Triple H and Austin both bladed, and like, you could see the cut.
No,
you could
they were bleeding.
Yeah.
But like, it's very different. This is not that different of a time, because the next thing that happens is Kevin Nash literally gives Medeja a fucking sidewalk slam. Like, violence towards women was of a very real thing at this time. And Kevin Nash does that and goes on to give Steiner a very clean looking jackknife, which I told you guys to like brace yourselves for. Because I thought it was going to look dirty as fuck, like a dirty old burger. But, like, no, he did it in such a way that he got slammed and also, like, let down. Like, he didn't land on the fucking back of its neck, which happens a lot with the old jackknife.
And then somehow Steiner won, right? I don't remember how.
Yeah, Steiner wins the third fall, and I guess Nash is retired now forever.
Yeah, that's the thing, too, is I forgot that it was a retirement match. So, like, Nash really didn't sell that enough. He was just sitting there, and he's just kind of like, oh, man. Oh.
I'm super bummed out that I have to retire now.
Like, he saw the writing on the wall. He was like, I might as well get a month's vacation before this company falls apart.
If there were three people that knew that this company was going out of business, it was the two wrestlers in the match and the other wrestler that was making the stipulations on the fly.
You think Scott Steiner had some kind of inside information?
It might turn out that Scott Steiner's way smarter.
I think they know. I think they just talk about important shit around him because they're like, it doesn't matter. He doesn't
exactly
know.
That's how I think about it.
I don't think Scott Steiner knows even where he is.
But I mean, would you ever tell Scott Steiner that he's wrong?
No, I don't know him.
Oh, and to bring it full circle, so even though this match had all these stipulations and mid-match changes and was actually kind of cool and mostly pretty good and kind of exciting, the crowd failed to react in the slightest.
Oh my God. And yeah. Again, it was like the juxtaposition when we watched the WWE pay-per-view and The Rock came out and like the audience explodes, jumps to their feet. Nothing like that happened. Even in this main event, like this big, huge retirement match, nothing. No one cared.
I cannot believe that I promoted to you guys that I thought that the very crux of the audience was going to be based off their own negligence to know what good wrestling was. And then it turns out that they knew exactly what bad wrestling is. Blew my entire mind.
So sad too. I mean, it's a Southern hillbilly audience. What are they good for if not to mark out about wrestling? That's what you're for. That's why you were born, was to make wrestling seem exciting.
If John Cena had to come out during that, we would have saw a Hallmark pop.
So last time we were like, I wonder what happened on WWF side of things at this same month. This week we were like, oh geez, this pay-per-view was fucking rough. So let's, as our dessert, let's see what happens.
Because I got a bad taste in my mouth.
So it turned out it was No Way Out 2001.
No, it was Bash at the Massacre 2001.
Yeah. But yeah, so we didn't watch the whole thing, but it's what we should have watched. It was so clearly better.
The first thing I wrote down was Hardcore Schmuck. So,
or even just the opening video package immediately.
Oh, actually, like, yeah, let's wait on the Hardcore Schmoz for a second. But yes, what we noticed immediately is switching to the other programming. You see,
and what was it, a week later that this happened? This pay-per-view?
Roughly, we're gonna have to look at dates,
right?
But like, I think it was a week later.
Yeah, immediately we just started noticing fonts, right?
Actual
they had
fonts,
serifs. Don't know what that is.
Well, it's like the end of a Comic Sans.
Yeah, I mean,
font talk. This is the new podcast.
Yeah. You should watch Helvetica on DVD.
Oh man, that sounds like a great movie.
Yeah,
it is kind of good aside.
Or Font. Times New Roman, am I right?
Let's call our podcast Font of Wisdom.
Well, that's a bold idea.
Italic.
Caps lock. At any rate, we have a fatal four-way for Redacted versus Eddie Guerrero versus Chris Jericho versus X-Pac with J-Cred. So, just to break that down, do you guys know who I'm talking about by Redacted?
Benoit. We know because we just watched it.
I know, but for the viewer.
For the viewer, listener, spoiler whatever. Alert, it's Benoit.
Yeah, it's Benoit. It's not really a spoiler, but you know, they already know he killed himself. It's like 9/11. Like, spoiler alert, 9/11.
Yeah.
So, I mean, immediately, yeah, like, there's a match with just four amazing people. The Hardcore Schmoz, who won that?
The Hardcore Schmoz, we didn't figure out who won because of so many things that were happening.
Right. It was the Big Show, I believe, but a couple people won a few times.
Yeah, like, the belt changed hands a bunch of times.
Yeah, it was the 24-hour rule kept existing. Now, let's, not to really, like, slow down this podcast, but think about watching Huge Erection, who is now Hugh Morris... That's humorous for you dummies. Versus The Wall. Did you have any moments where you're like, holy fuck, maybe, you know, maybe they'll do some sort of situation where, like, a guy will come down and pin another guy and it's the 24-hour... Like, that's what my mind sounds like. So when I'm sitting and watching fucking that match with the Hardcore... 24/7 rule, you just have to be like, there's too much going on and it's great. It's so much better.
Yeah,
and
it's a clusterfuck in a good way that makes sense.
To put these two pay-per-views side by side is insanity. In fact, my memories dictate that these things happened light worlds apart. I don't remember these two pay-per-views, which I probably would have watched or have been privy to the results at very least.
Yeah, I think I watched the WWE one.
Do you know what? Oh, I just had such an amazing idea, and I don't know how we could ever set this up. If we could get two TVs side by side and play the two pay-per-views from the same month, like, together?
I'm 100% down to try that.
That would be so good.
One of you guys has to subscribe to the network also.
Yeah, because you can't play two things at once.
I don't think we could be on the same.
Man, because that would be amazing, because then just seeing it live, like, what, like, this one is so good and this one is so bad. That would be crazy. I don't know. We'll think about
it'd
that.
It'd be like watch, and then we can also play The Wall by Pink Floyd on top of everything.
While The Wall, we just watch a fucking bevy of Wall matches. But, you know what? And Mike, you said this before, that Super Brawl, we've just watched their equivalent. It was a hardcore match and then a fatal four-way for the Intercontinental fucking title with Chris Jericho, X-Pac, Eddie Guerrero, and Chris Benoit. And then you go on to a Hallmark match. And this doesn't sound Hallmark when you say it out loud, but the thing about it is it is. It's a time in history. Trish Stratus looking not like a whore fighting Stephanie McMahon also not looking like a whore. It's crazy.
And it was like, you'd think like, oh, well, this is going to be the dumb match, but it was still better than 95% of that WCW.
In fact, you know what? Let's not glaze over this too hard, but for the sake of time constraint, we skipped over Stone Cold Steve Austin versus Triple H in the original Best of Three Falls Three Stages of Hell match, where the third match was a cage match.
Yeah, they kept adding stipulations. So it was similar to that 2 out of 3 Falls WCW match.
We put more time and effort into thinking and talking about when it was just like us with the microphone about Trish and Steph, because we watched that whole match.
Right.
Yeah.
And easily the...
But that was because we were so booby starved. It's partially why.
That's like, true.
I need some boobies.
That's true.
It's our butt.
Yeah, Trish Stratus's butt came into play. And what else was in that pay-per-view? So, I mean, like, yeah, Triple H, like, so many matches.
Triple H Austin was awesome.
The first two stages of hell?
Yeah, was it, so I guess it was a normal match, then,
They were bleeding by the time we got to the cage, so I assume it was some sort of situation where it was just, like, no DQ.
Yeah, probably.
It had to have been. But the next match, of course, everybody has to go to the washroom. So we get Jerry the King Lawler with the Cat, not Ernest the Cat Miller from the previous pay-per-view. The Sex Cat versus Steven Richards of the RTC. You guys probably have some things to say about the RTC.
I just, man, the music, I can't take it. But I love Right to Censor. That whole idea was so awesome and so cool. And yeah, their whole thing was like, Cat won't stop showing her tits and fuck that. So there was a battle, I guess, to see if she could show tits. And since Right to Censor won, not only did they win, they put like a burlap sack over the Cat and just dragged her out.
Yeah. It's like they're like the perfect heels in an Attitude Era.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's absolutely how I've always thought about it. But my biggest complaint about it is that Actually, no, it's not even a complaint. I think these two pay-per-views are equidistant from one another in the kayfabe realm. I'm certain, as you just said right there, like, they tried to put the tits out there, but they just couldn't, and then they buried it with a burlap sack. It's like they're almost dancing around fisticuff with WCW at this point. Like, almost like either, like, we got to figure out, I think, Keith, at the end of this episode, I'd like to find out the differences in the months, the dates. And I'd like you to actually say what the differences in dates are.
Yeah, well.
Because this feels like, now that we're talking about it, that Super Brawl actually ripped off No Way Out, but it was so incestuous at that time.
Well, you know what's weird about it, too, is that this is also kind of the peak of power of WWF, because with WCW about to go under, the invasion angle was about to start, which was just kind of long and kind of boring and not that great. So it's like, it's so weird where even WCW was going down, and it was going down so hard that it was about to start to take down. It really did take down WWF, because 2 years later, no one was watching anymore.
And how far before the invasion angle did they know? Like, at this point in February 2001, did they know that a couple months later in the year, there was going to be an acquisition of WCW for WWF? Like, did they know?
Some people knew. I'm sure, like, deals were in the works, especially, like, higher ups at WWE probably knew.
Because as far as conglomeration goes, like, AOL and Time Warner were just writing paperwork at this point, right? Like, that has to be how it is.
Yeah.
When 3 months later, they're a conglomerate, they're a monopoly.
It is so weird, too, to think back to this now, where it's like, obviously, buying WCW for so little, and the idea of an invasion, like of course Vince had to try it. It's such an enticing idea, but this pay-per-view proved WWF was fine on their own, and all the WCW acquisition did was water them down.
Right down to the point that after the Lawler and Richards match went to, I don't know who won that. I think the RTC won, because I hear their theme instead.
They did win.
Jerry Lawler's theme. But they had Nitro Girls dancing on the stage, but they had XFL jackets on. So that means that right at this particular time in history, the XFL is happening.
Yeah, it's still alive and proud.
Yeah. I looked it up, by the way. This pay-per-view was on the 25th. It was a week after the other one.
It was a week after? Yeah, so you don't have to do like an after bit.
Man, so, you know what the Super Bowl was called for XFL? Super Brawl. Ironically, yeah. It was called Starcade.
Yeah, it was called WrestleMania. So then I just wrote down tag match. Do you guys know what tag match happened after the Lawler Richards?
Yeah, it was Undertaker as a biker and Kane. Oh, so yeah, that's not starting Undertaker off great.
Yep.
But then Edge and Christian, and then the Dudleys. And it's like, awesome. Wait,
wasn't there a Buried Alive match? Or that was?
Oh no, that was Bragging Rights 2010.
Oh, yeah.
You wouldn't think so, but it was.
But the main event of our actual evening, the evening we left Super Brawl, and we were like, fuck this wrestling event. Let's go to this other wrestling event. And we went to the Montreal Superdome.
Which, the Montreal Superdome, also a nice change from the high school cafeteria where the WCW was.
Yes, so much bigger and so much more full, and just everyone gave a fuck. It was such a nice feeling. Like, that vibe was so different, of just that excitingness.
The electricity, the buzz, it actually felt like I was watching a pay-per-view that mattered, and it was fucking No Way. It was in your house. It was No Way Out 2001.
Like I was saying, how if I was in the front row of the WCW pay-per-view, I would have been into it just by merit of it being a wrestling event. But the WWF one, I really wished I was there. I was like, oh, that would be the best.
But break it down this way.
Break it down. Bam, 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 bam.
You're dealing with the real deal now.
You have WCW Super Brawl versus WWF No Way Out. On one card, you have that your main event of the evening is Kevin Nash in a schmozzy. I can only presume that at this time Kevin Nash was doing his classic politicking. Hulk Hogan was just taking some time off wrestling, and Kevin Nash was like, "Yeah, I'll do the main event." Meanwhile, Jeff Jarrett.
I have to get fired forever, but it's fine.
Jeff Jarrett's trying his hardest. Ric Flair's still trying his hardest because he needs a job. And then you literally flip to the other channel, and this is your main event. Dwayne The Rock Johnson from Hollywood versus Kirk Angel, a.k.a. Kurt Angle from Olympics.
Yeah, like, and just The Rock, like, The Rock didn't even give a long talk today. It was like 20 seconds, but it was amazing. It was so good.
And we were sitting there expecting him to do a fucking five-star promotional classic. He did do the hand in the face to who?
Yeah, oh god, Michael Cole in his fucking frosted hair. Holy fuck, it was so stupid looking.
But then he made sure to shut Michael Cole down and just walk to the ring and do what he needed to do.
Yeah, it was just night and day. These two pay-per-views.
These two podcasts are night and day.
I also like even the graphic they had for No Way Out was like, it's on the screen right now. It's like an awesome image of like Kurt Angle in like this massive stadium filled with people. And then the graphic they had for the WCW pay-per-view was Scott Steiner in the middle, who was in the main event, and then weirdly pixelated in the background were Goldberg, not in the pay-per-view. Sid Vicious, not in the pay-per-view. Sting, not in the pay-per-view. And
some G.I. Bro.
G.I. Bro, a.k.a. Booker T, not in the pay-per-view.
Yeah, ridiculous. Like, what the fuck? Yeah, like, I'm thinking in future, like, it is kind of tough to chronicle this much wrestling in one night. Like, we probably should just stick to one pay-per-view, but I feel like tonight we did the right thing because that WCW one was so fucking lame, and we needed that like adrenaline boost of watching the WWF one also. Yeah, so much better. Ridiculous. Or I was telling Mike, like, after last week, because we kind of had fun with Gab 2000, and I was like, maybe WCW is misunderstood, maybe they're not so bad, but this really clears it up. Like,
no. If for as far as experiments go, I think we should have like picked our instinct and just did the next pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And
yeah, like, I think, yeah, like, we are brave adventurers to go into 2001 era WCW, but sometimes when you adventure, you pay the price.
But we were horribly disappointed by WCW compared to about 6 months ago on the same company. But we did end up watching No Way Out 2001, which, as it turns out, had everything we wanted that we got from Gab 2000. And then some. We got a 24/7 rules hardcore match. We got Trish Jazz versus Stephanie McMahon. We saw some fucking TNA. We got fucking lots of classic wrestlers. Like, that Fatal 4-Way was live. Fucking phenomenal. Oh. And we skipped through the whole Austin and Triple H 3 Stages of Hell for time constraint. But I'm going to go and fucking watch that match almost immediately.
You know what else it was? It was live from a satellite uplink was Test's opinion on the upcoming matches from the WWE restaurant in Times Square.
That's another thing I'd like to go back and revisit, because what he could have said, he could have just like spoiled the whole pay-per-view, just said what happens, and we would never know.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, really, just, yeah, man. I guess it's like, it's bittersweet because this was like the lowest ebb ever for WCW, but also kind of the highest in some ways for WWF. Like, it was never that good again.
That's ebb and flow, man. Yeah. That's
ebb and flow. That's Raven's music.
Yeah. Maybe we just pop. You should put the style pastiche of Even Flow as the bumper.
Opener. Yeah.
Or the opener. Yeah. So I guess this marks the end of the inaugural, well, we're not going to do it yearly. I guess this marks the
semi-annual
end of Smarkamania, where no match has a 1-star rating.
We won't let it happen. We'll find something good about it.
It's true. I think that should be our closer.
Yeah, you can find more episodes at keithcurds.com. Any final words, Michael?
Yeah, are you going to do any plugs? We got a plug section.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, sure, why not? You can listen to my other podcast if you want at niceguyscomedy.com. It's very different than this, but it's an improv podcast, and you should listen to it if you care or if you don't. I don't care. I'm not your mother. I don't tell you what to do, but you're free to do that. It's a free country, probably, unless you're listening from South Korea.
I think South Korea is okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
South Korea is the good Korea.
Oh, okay, North then.
Yeah. I mean, it's grading on a pretty brutal curve, of course.
You can check me out on YouTube. I have my own YouTube channel. It's youtube.com/spiderhero. You can tweet me at @spiderhero. That's SPIDERHERO. Good night.